The Sydney Sanitarium to be educational.
The Lord has repeatedly given instruction regarding the importance of this institution and the necessity for its establishment. He desires the sanitarium to be built that we may cooperate with His instrumentalities in relieving the sufferings of humanity. In the work of the sanitarium, physicians, matron, and nurses are to cooperate with God in restoring the sick to health. In doing this, they cooperate with Him in restoring His image in the soul. Let us not limit the Holy One of Israel. Is not Christ officiating for us in the sanctuary above, at the right hand of God? Is He not making intercession for those who are suffering spiritually and physically? He invites them to come to Him who was dead, but is alive forevermore. God desires suffering human beings to be taught how to avoid sickness by the practice of correct habits of eating, drinking, and dressing. Many are suffering under the oppressive power of sinful practices, who might be restored to health by an intelligent observance of the laws of life and health, by cooperating with Him who died that they might have eternal life. This is the knowledge that men and women need. They need to be taught how to study the divine laws given by Christ for the good of all mankind. This is the work that is to be done in our sanitarium. God's instrumentalities should seek to follow in the footsteps of the divine healer. Those who come to the sanitarium should be taught how to take care of the body, remembering the words, "Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." See 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Yes, we are God's property, and the path of obedience to nature's laws is the direct path to heaven. He who is converted from errors in eating, drinking, and dressing is being prepared to hear and receive the truth into a good and willing heart. Many, by practicing the laws of nature and by receiving the renovating grace of God into the soul, obtain a new lease of physical and spiritual life. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9:10. Let wisdom's voice be heard, for her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. See Proverbs 3:17. The glory of the gospel. It is the glory of the gospel that it is founded upon the principle of restoring in the fallen race the divine image by a constant manifestation of benevolence. This work began in the heavenly courts. There God decided to give human beings unmistakable evidence of the love with which He regarded them. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See John 3:16. The Godhead was stirred with pity for the race, and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit gave themselves to the working out of the plan of redemption. In order fully to carry out this plan, it was decided that Christ, the only begotten Son of God, should give Himself an offering for sin. What line can measure the depth of this love? God would make it impossible for man to say that he could have done more. With Christ, He gave all the resources of heaven, that nothing might be wanting in the plan for man's uplifting. Here is love, the contemplation of which should fill the soul with inexpressible gratitude. Oh, what love! What matchless love! The contemplation of this love will cleanse the soul from all selfishness. It will lead the disciple to deny self, take up the cross, and follow the Redeemer. All should have a part. The establishment of churches and sanitariums is only a further manifestation of the love of God, and in this work all God's people should have a part. Christ formed his church here below for the express purpose of showing forth through the members the grace of God. Throughout the world his people are to raise memorials of his Sabbath, the sign between him and them that he is the one who sanctifies them. Thus they are to show that they have returned to their loyalty and stand firmly for the principles of his law.